America's ready to get back to work, but to win in the new economy, you need every advantage to succeed. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every penny with precision. You'll have the agility to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, and run your whole company right from your phone. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to make it happen. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Golic. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Golic. That's netsuite.com/Golic.
T-shirt. Led to a lot of things.
Wow.
It's amazing how this world works sometimes. And the things that you can go down with one little thing changing a lot. Golic and Wingo with you. ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests will join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Mike Golic. Mike Golic Jr.
Wow.
Trey Wingo here with you.
Okay.
And it's amazing how quickly all that has changed and all the things have been said about Oklahoma State after that picture of Mike Gundy wearing the OAN t-shirt.
You know, and generally, I would ask you guys, because that was Sarah Spain on the rejoin there saying, so do we really think all of a sudden, you know, he's changed? And I guess I would ask this. When he's in a position to make change, does it matter? Does it matter if he came to this? You would like, I'm sure, those that opposed what he thought, and then he says he was wrong and change would like to believe that, but does it matter as long as it invokes some sort of change for the positive? Because he is in a position to whatever change that's going to be, and we still haven't heard from him what that change is going to be. But if there is actionable change led by Mike Gundy, does it matter whether we believe him or not that all of a sudden he had this epiphany that, oh, wow, what I was listening to doesn't jive with what my guys, you know, believe in?
I think ultimately, if the actions that come forward are reflective of the wishes of the players involved and the people that were hurt by this, then no, it matters a lot less. It just makes it difficult because if you're constantly fighting
right.
what you think with what you do,
yeah.
I think it makes it harder to go along in this process in the way that's going to have to happen. But again, him having a change overnight, to me, I don't know if it less doesn't matter and more isn't realistic. And so maybe that's where those two things can kind of meet.
Well, the other part of that, which is what we're finding out here, if it's not genuine, players will know it, right? If it's being done just to be done, I think, like you said, fighting yourself is a very difficult thing to do. So the genuineness of that, I think, will.
But what if it still leads to change? Because we brought up Drew Brees, right?
I was just going to say.
I mean, Drew Brees has done a ton of good in the area, and Drew Brees says he is kind of understands now. And there are those. Hell, there were players that tweeted right out, "Sorry, not buying it from you." That all of a sudden you now change when maybe he did, maybe he didn't. We don't know. But if he can go out there and help affect positive change, then.
Well,
I guess I come back to, does it matter?
Well, and I think the Drew Brees example has, I think, maybe the biggest caveat in this, which is we all thought that right afterwards is, all right, you flipped the script that quickly from the other day, and maybe it wasn't that far to go to begin with because so many people spoke out and vouched for Drew Brees being someone whose character
yeah,
that they
absolutely.
Understand. But he did go out right after that and was tweeted at by the president
yes,
and responded in a way that made people look up and said, all right, I'm a little more inclined to believe because you demonstrated it with
right.
action
sure
in that spot.
Yep.
And so
yep.
if Mike Gundy comes out and all of a sudden him and Chuba Hubbard get in a room and there's more of these conversations, because with all of this, I think the response from Chuba is the thing that I become most yeah. interested in going forward. If he's able to keep holding his coach accountable and there are steps that are taken, you're right. Mike Gundy's personal opinions matter a lot less in all of this.
And talk about fortuitous timing. ESPN Plus is doing an original series in the fall following Oklahoma State football. So we have this incredible access to Mike Gundy and Chuba Hubbard and other people at Oklahoma State that we might not otherwise have gotten. And they were both interviewed about this and what's going on now. Here is Mike Gundy basically saying he was, in his words, a dumbass for wearing that shirt.
I didn't know that some of the stances they had taken. I didn't know that. But then you look at it and say, okay, I was a dumbass. I put the shirt on not knowing enough about the shirt. I understood exactly why the players got frustrated when they found that out or whatever, however they found out what it was. I didn't know. I didn't know till the next day. Well, I knew that night, but I didn't confirm it till I did a little research. And I was like, what a dumbass. So that was my fault. The way the players feel about me and I upset them and broke their heart, that bothered me more than losing games. And that's the truth. But that's why now that as humans, when we make mistakes, the only thing we can do is admit we're wrong, own up to it, be humble, accept critical people, criticism, make it better and move forward.
So, I mean, listen, you'd love to take him at his word that says, and maybe we should, that says, I didn't know all this, but, you know, as Trey, as you've brought up, he talked about this a while ago and saying he loved the network because they didn't lean either way and all that. And now he says he just found that out. You would like to believe that. And again, for those that are saying, why can't the guy watch whatever he wants? Well, he can.
He can.
He absolutely can, but he is also in a position of leadership, and 70 to 80% of the people he's leading, if he chooses to enjoy what that network says, it flies directly in the face of the 80% of the people that he is trying to lead, what they believe. And so you have a little bit of a headbutting there. So that's where we're at right now. So I keep going back to, do we believe he actually understands this, or he understands that what he watches just absolutely flies in the face of just about all of the players on his team?
Well, the route he went is, because you have to look at this two ways, which is either knowingly disparaging or an idiot. And that was what a lot of people said, is you either didn't know or you were not paying attention. And he went with, I was a dumbass. I didn't notice all this stuff. And so that was his declaration in this process. Again, you can sit there and question sincerity or do any of those things, but he made that point clear in what now constitutes, I think, the third apology in all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, that was Mike Gundy sitting down with ESPN Plus. We had a chance to sit down with Chuba Hubbard, and he explained why he did what he did, first with the tweet, and then the meeting, and then the other things that are subsequently followed.
I'm just someone that always wants to, you know, pride myself on doing the right thing and stand for the right reasons. And, you know, I'm not a politician. I'm not anything like that. I'm just someone that stands up for what's right. And that's all I was trying to do. I mean, I heard from Coach Gundy later that day. You know, we talked. We talked for about 2 hours. Eamon was in here. And he said some stuff. And, you know, I realized, like, some people may be ignorant in effect, and some people may just not understand, you know, what's going on or the seriousness of what's going on. And some people need to be educated. And whether I can't depict exactly what's going on with him or whatever, I'm going to do my best to educate him and do my best to make Oklahoma State a better program for all athletes. And that's all I'm trying to do. I'm in a position right now where I have to act fast and I have to do something right. And I feel like he may feel the same way. And obviously we're in two different positions, but right now it's really up to him if he wants to make things right or not.
Yeah, because he said, Mike Gundy is the one that said, there needs to be change. Change starts at the top. That starts with me. So,
and he said that, and Chuba has now said in multiple instances, it's my job to hold him accountable. And that's why he felt like doing what he did publicly was something that he shouldn't apologize for. That was his second statement. And now, if he's really about this change, this is on him. Like, what we've seen in this whole situation, because again, the news network, the shirt is one part of it, but then it's the things that have come out subsequently,
right,
and some of the questions about treatment in there. This is sort of like when you go to the doctor because something in your finger hurts and they take an x-ray and they're like, you realize you had a stress fracture here in 2015 and you broke this and it never reset properly and all that. Like, you found a bunch of old issues that people had just kind of pushed down and brushed past that now they're saying, oh wow, these things might all be connected in a way that we need to address now. And that's what this ultimately becomes.
And that's what you've seen from former Oklahoma State right. players. Justice Hill, the running back who is now with the Ravens, AJ Green, who is now with the Cleveland Browns, basically saying, no, what Chuba is saying is correct. There needs to be a change. And so Mike Gundy is hearing that. And again, I'm glad you brought it up. You can wear whatever shirt you want.
Absolutely you can.
The question is, does it fly in the face of the people that you're trying to work with?
Right.
And that becomes the problem.
Right. It does. Yeah. And you heard Chuba say, I need to act fast. Remember, he only has a limited time on campus there. It doesn't mean he can't still try and help when he's gone, but when you're right there, you know, on the spot there, you can maybe have more of a direct effect.
Yeah. Golican Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Shower Sessions. Half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive. Coming up, while it's bedlam in Stillwater, things are very quiet on the other side of the state. We'll talk to Lincoln Riley, OU's football coach, in a few minutes. But coming up, should Lincoln's former quarterback be on his way out in Cleveland? Really? We'll get to that.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Hi, Golden Wingo with you, ESPN Radio and ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including our next guest. We love him. Live, local, and late-breaking. Our football analyst and quarterback extraordinaire, Dan Orlowski, joins us now. Dan, a lot of conversation about Colin Kaepernick and where he might end up. Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, had some interesting comments about Cap yesterday, basically saying, we love our guys, which include Tyrod Taylor, Easton Stick, and of course Justin Herbert, the first round selection from the draft, but he would be on a list of guys we would work out, but he's not on their radar to be worked out just yet. So where are we in terms of teams actually doing the thing that Anthony Lynn said every team would be crazy not to do, which is work out Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, I would imagine that as teams gather more information on Cap and see where he is both physically and what his plans are, because Anthony Lynn also said, you know, I don't know what Cap wants to do. And that's a big part of this equation. Like, where does Colin Kaepernick sit with his desire to be a part of the NFL and play in the NFL? What are the long-term goals? All that stuff. And so if that comes into the play or into the picture that I want to be a part of the NFL. I'm ready for any opportunity that gets thrown at me. Because stop the conversation of can he be a starter right now. Like, that is not part of the conversation. If he comes back to the NFL, it's in a backup role opportunity that hopefully springs him to one. I'd say there's four teams that stick out in my head, and they're for specific reasons. One, Seattle Seahawks. They can absolutely upgrade their backup quarterback spot. It's a healthy team that understands great leadership. And really, Brian Schottenheimer, their play caller, that's a big piece of this puzzle because he was with the New York Jets when they were doing the quarterback run game with Brad Smith, if people remember, almost a decade ago, that were designed quarterback runs. That's part of Colin Kaepernick's game. So I would say Seattle number one, the Houston Texans number two, their offensive line coach, Mike Devlin, also part of those Jet staffs that were doing the quarterback run game with Anthony Lynn and Rex Ryan. Three, the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't think it's likely anymore because of the drafting of Justin Herbert. And then four, the Baltimore Ravens, because Greg Roman, who we saw Greg Roman and Lamar Jackson blow the NFL away with their offensive scheme last year. Greg Roman was the play caller for the 49ers when Colin Kaepernick was blowing away the NFL 8-9 years ago. And so scheme fit will be massive. And for the people who say, like, man, he hasn't played in 4 years, I don't see that. I mean, listen, I'm not comparing the talents, but Michael Vick went 2 years out of the NFL. 2 years, 21 months out of those 24 months were in prison. It's not like, you know, he was able to keep himself in football shape. He was in prison. Then it was a year back of just being a backup quarterback. So 3 years removed from being a starting quarterback at the age of 30, ended up going to start the following year, the fourth season, and was really, really good. So for everyone who says, man, he hasn't played in 4 years and he can't, I don't buy that.
Talking to Dan Orlovsky with us here on Golic and Wingo. And certainly Colin is going to be in a very similar situation as far as when and how he gets signed, likely to Cam Newton, who's also been sitting out on the market this offseason. Dan, one of our colleagues, and Marcus Spears brought up the Cleveland Browns as a team that should potentially sign Cam if all things were right. What are your thoughts on that and where he should potentially land?
Yeah, Marcus is lucky he's not on television with me today. It's just so stupid, and I love Marcus. I love him, but that's just...
Doesn't sound like you love him. I mean, I'm being honest with you.
Baker Mayfield is 1 year removed from breaking Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson's rookie passing record. That doesn't matter anymore. Like, that just never happened. Last year, he didn't play well. That was a disaster last year. But for the Browns... So the Browns' goal should be to bring in Cam Newton, and at best he plays good football for them this year, and then what do they do? Like, what do they do with Baker Mayfield? They're in the process of hoping to develop him for the next 12 years, 12-plus years. Their goal is not to get a guy to come in and play good this year. Also, Cam has never been in this type of scheme, never been in this type of system. Case Keenum has. Case is there to help Baker Mayfield develop and grow. Baker Mayfield's going into his third season. Like, he's going into his third season. And we think it's a good idea to bring in Cam Newton and totally halt his development. Because what happens if Baker Mayfield starts off next season in his first 2 weeks is just playing okay football and the Browns go 0-2? You have now then created a problem for your locker room, a problem for your organization, and the whispers will start. There's a lot of places that make sense for Cam. Cleveland is absolutely not one of them.
Completely agree. I still don't have the faith that Baker Mayfield is going to turn out to be something incredible, but that even being said, there's no way I'd bring in Cam to even muddle that right now either. I would completely agree with that. Quick one on Cam before we go to somewhere else. The Carolina Panthers tweeted out yesterday about who would be the face of the Carolina Panthers, who would be that guy, and they gave three choices: Julius Peppers, Steve Smith, or Luke Kuechly. They left Cam off of that, which blows my mind. So I know we all would. We would put Cam on, but if you're putting Cam on, you got to take somebody off. Julius Peppers, Steve Smith, or Luke Kuechly. Who would you take off?
Wait, this is a real thing?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yes, it is. A real thing they tweeted out yesterday, Dan.
So forgetting the fact that it's ridiculous to not have Cam on, we're all putting Cam on, including you. Yeah. But who do you got to take somebody off?
Dan was this many days old when he realized that actually happened yesterday.
Breaking news, Dan. Wow. Here we go. Who you taking off?
I would probably take off Luke Kuechly.
Oh, I hate you offensive people. People are unbelievable, you offensive people. How do you take off Luke Kuechly?
Well, because if I'm going, okay, Steve Smith is unquestionably the best wide receiver that's ever played in that organization, and he's probably the second best offensive player. And then if I go to the other side of the football and I go, all right, who was the more dominant player? Who's the greater player, Julius Peppers or Luke Kuechly? Listen, they're great players, and I love Luke, but I would say that Peppers was more of a dominant player. And so I think so highly of Julius Peppers, I would keep him on and take off Luke Kuechly.
Wow.
Just so you know, Junior and I are on the same boat, and Golic was spitting fire at us for taking Luke Kuechly off that list.
Five-time
welcome to the right side of the conversation, my friend.
Five-time first-team All-Pro. Nobody has more than two there. He's walking into the Hall of Fame. I love Steve Smith, but he's not. Julius is. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. I just know to hate offensive people.
I mean, they're great players. They're great players.
We're splitting hairs here. I get it, because it'll come off like we're saying someone's no good. That's not what we mean at all.
Sure.
You know what, Dan? Congratulations on being on the right side of history on this one, buddy. We appreciate the time this morning. Thanks as always, man.
You got it, guys. Have a great day, bud.
He was going to say, I can't believe Cam. It's unreal that Cam is not on the – how is that possible?
So, and so for anyone that missed this, one of the new meme formats going around on Twitter was you put up three options, and to vote for the respective option, you either comment for one, retweet for one, or like for one. And so it was comment if you were voting Julius Peppers, retweet for Steve Smith, and like for Luke Kuechly. You're only afforded three options way that this format works. Which still is no excuse and baffling to ignore Cam Newton in all of this. When, as people talked about, I believe you cut one of these guys and traded the other when it came to Julius Peppers and Steve Smith.
And Steve Smith. That's exactly who was ahead, by the way.
Right now leading is Luke Kuechly.
Yeah. I mean, I just.
It's also easier to like.
Right. I
it's really? You know, people's general
aren't you
social
just pressing one thing?
Yeah, I mean, but a retweet is a pretty big commitment on your timeline. A comment's going to muddy things up a little bit. A like, that just kind of gets filed away into the algorithm.
Retweet's not that much.
I'm alone here, too, because we talked about this before the show. Both you and now Dan as well would take Luke off. I would. Listen, Steve Smith, 13 years? I mean, and I love the way he plays the game, not only catching, but his toughness
only
as well.
Only one of those guys to punch one of his teammates in the face.
Exactly. It is not to diminish anyone here at all, because Steve Smith is great. Julius, obviously great, but I'm not taking Luke Kuechly off that. Oh, by the way, he's winning.
And oh, by the way, only one of them gave us the greatest line ever, ice up, son. So, I mean, it's Steve Smith in a landslide.
But Cam Newton not on that list.
No, makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up, one college coach who's taking a very cautious approach to the upcoming season and when he wants his athletes in the building. We'll talk to him after SportsCenter. Golic and Wingo here with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. So we're having the conversation about what happened at Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy basically trying to work his way back into the good graces of some of his players after he was called out about the T-shirt that he was wearing. But there's also the conversation that a lot of people are having about college football is like, when is it a good time to get your players back on campus? We've seen like the University of Houston had a bunch of players. They only tested when they showed symptoms and they had basically shut down those workouts. And a lot of people have been very gung-ho. We're going to get our guys in there in June or later this month or in July. One person that has not been on that bandwagon has said, we need all the time in the world, has been Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma Sooners head coach. We're going to talk to him in just a minute. And I'm curious when we get to him whether or not he feels validated in any way, shape, or form by the things he was saying, which was in stark contrast to almost everybody else about, hey, we need to take as much time as possible.
The only reason why I don't know if it's validated is it maybe better these players came in early and tested positive, and you know it, and you can isolate them, and they can be free of this by the time July hits. I mean, there is that side of it as well, right? Instead of waiting July when they came in and then testing positive, or maybe they would have been over by then. I don't know. I mean, there is that side of it as well, that you're getting guys that are, because we knew players were going to test positive, so they're testing positive in June, hopefully working through it and coming out on the other side of it healthy and then ready to go.
So the thing that I think has always been consistent with Lincoln's stance is just the idea that, yes, testing and coming back and finding that information is always going to be valuable, but you do leave yourself open to, now they're back with you on campus. Now they're back there in the surrounding cities. And so depending on what your testing strategy is, Houston, you could be finding yourself in a difficult position. And now it's under your watch. And now all the repercussions, like having to shut down, fall on you. And so with that being said, now we are delighted to be joined by Oklahoma head football coach Lincoln Riley with us here on Golic and Wingo. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Hey, great, guys. Good morning.
Coach, I guess just to start off, and we were just talking about some of the things that go along with the health and safety protocols that we certainly want to get into with you, but we've seen what's going on the other side of the state with Oklahoma State, with Coach Gundy and some of the response from his players. We've seen players at Florida State speaking up, at Texas, and in general, the world of college football is seeing their players now really have a voice. What's that been like for you to process as a head coach at one of the biggest college programs in the country?
Well, I think it's a positive thing. I mean, I think, you know, I think players have had a voice. I think some of the things going on in our country right now have even added to that. And so I don't have any issue with it. I mean, I think obviously it's getting a lot of attention right now, and rightfully so. But these players, they deserve a voice. They're a big part of what makes college football so special. We've always believed in giving our players a voice. And so, honestly, for us, I don't know that it feels that much different. As far as other places across the country, other stories that have come up, that's everybody kind of has their own way of doing things. And so I've been proud of how our players have handled it here, and proud that we've had a program that's always given our guys a voice.
Coach, what have is it been like for you guys, obviously in the aftermath of the killing of George Floyd and the ensuing protests? What have the conversations been like between you and your players and the things that you guys have discussed?
Yeah, they've been great. You know, they've not that they've all been easy. They haven't. But I think we've been able to kind of rely on our culture, and I think our players have known where we as a staff stand, and I think we've had a pretty good idea of where our players stand. And so this has certainly shed some new light, I think, on this issue for everybody. And once again, been very proud of how our players have handled it. Our guys have been involved in a lot of the peaceful protests across the state. We've had couple of our players that have been, that have been more involved on the, kind of educating themselves, whether it's the right to vote or different potential policy changes. So we've had a very, very active group, and discussions have been very good, very healthy. I think we've all learned a lot. I know that I certainly have, and still continue to have a lot more to learn on the subject. But it's been something that we've approached together, and that, our entire team, whether it's our black student athletes, whether it's our white student athletes, any other race, any other ethnicity, that they've really kind of come together, listened to each other, and I think all grown.
Golden Wingo talking to Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma head coach, head football coach for the Sooners, and obviously the peaceful protests in the wake of the killing of George Floyd has been something that everybody has been dealing with. And also the other thing that everybody has been dealing with is the pandemic, COVID-19. And Lincoln, you have been an outlier on a lot of levels on your thought process about when players should return and how they should return. You have said, hey, we need as much time as possible to figure this out. And then we see players coming back to certain schools, whether it's the University of Houston, where they had a bunch of people test positive, some Alabama players tested positive. We've had other people pop up at other schools testing positive. Where are you now on how Oklahoma is going to handle the idea of bringing players in and getting them back on campus, and how you're going to begin preparing for the season?
Well, I'm confident in our plan. It has been not from a sense of like I told you so or anything like that. It's been nice to kind of see what's going on at these other schools, have conversations with these people. Our medical personnel have conversations with these people, and so I think we've been able to learn some without our players being at risk. And so that has certainly been helpful. I mean, listen, nobody's immune to this. I mean, we've had a player or two that has been either exposed or has tested positive for this thing, just like everybody else has. The difference for us is our players aren't all here together, so they haven't exposed or potentially infected a bunch of other players here. Now, like we all said, eventually, to make this thing work, we've got to all get them back together. And, our guys are due in town here in about 2 weeks. And so I do feel like we're more educated. Had we brought our guys in June 1st or, even as little as a week ago, there's less that we would have known. So I do feel like we're more educated. Does that mean it's going to be 100%? No, but I do feel like we're more prepared on two fronts. I mean, it's we obviously made this decision to help prepare for the pandemic and all that's going on, and I do feel like that's going to be a positive. And then also with all that's going on in our country, it's given ourselves as us as a staff time to help prepare in a few certain areas. I don't know that I want to go into a ton of details here, but in a few certain areas to help prepare for all that's gone on with the racial injustice issue across our country, to prepare, make sure that we have the best environment possible when our guys get back to town as well.
Talking to Lincoln Riley, head coach at Oklahoma, and again, Division I Council just approved the six-week practice plan that will start workouts July 13th. You said your full team will be in a couple of weeks. That would put it at the beginning of July. Just from your years in football and preparing athletes in college, do you feel this, because you haven't had the players there all together, this will be enough time to be properly prepared for that first game?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have zero concern about that. I mean, I think everybody's concern is if you have an outbreak or all of a sudden you have a bunch of cases and then you don't have the time that you thought you would. I mean, I think everybody, regardless of when you bring them in, has that concern. And I think any league, any sport's going to have that. But no, I think it's a good plan that the Football Oversight Committee and then Council, put forward. I think it makes a lot of sense. Going to give us a little bit more access to the players 2 weeks before training camp starts. And these guys are going to be in good shape. That's going to help us. The last 2 weeks is going to help us make up for so many of us basically missing our entire spring practice period. So barring a bunch of major outbreaks, I think it's without a doubt enough time to get our guys ready to play.
Look, those are concerns that every program is dealing with right now, as Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma head football coach, is with us. But there's a concern that specifically you are dealing with, Lincoln, that no other school probably is. And is the question I have for you is, are you preparing Spencer Rattler for his Heisman Trophy weekend? Because we've seen Baker Mayfield, we've seen Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts comes in, he's a finalist. So we do need to be prepared to have Spencer prepared for that weekend going on recent history.
Yeah, it's kind of become the standard. It'll be fun. This is a different year for us quarterback wise. We had Baker for 3 years and had a great run with him. And then, it's been so many years in a row here that we've had, senior quarterbacks, Baker senior year, Kyler's senior year. And then of course Jalen's senior year. So we're excited for the potential of having a quarterback for multiple years, and both Tanner Mordecai and Spencer Rattler, we think, are tremendous young prospects. If they weren't, we probably would have brought in another transfer. But these guys are, these guys are ready to play. They're good enough to play. It's been honestly probably a better year that this pandemic happened now as opposed to last year, because these guys, they understand our system. They've been in it. They've taken a lot of reps. So for them, it's just about getting on the field and getting those game reps and getting in the flow of that. But, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch these two cats compete, and we feel like we've got some good pieces around them and two really, really talented players that are going to go at it.
I mean, if you're going on names alone, Tanner Rattler, those are Heisman Trophy names. Yeah, I mean, if I had a vote, I'd give them to both of them just on the names alone. So we'll see what happens going forward. Coach, listen, always like to have a little fun with you, but we appreciate your time dealing with a lot of serious topics. We look forward to you and Oklahoma football getting back on the field as soon as you can. And say hello to Joe Castiglione for me, okay?
Will do. Will do. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Thanks, Coach. What a name dropper. Their AD, in case anybody didn't know that. Joe's my
I don't know if you guys know, Trey's friends with him.
Trey's friends with him.
People know.
They probably follow each other as well.
Tanner Mordecai and Spencer Rattler, right? That's ridiculous.
When Spencer Rattler got on campus, I said, if that kid's not an All-American adding to the Heisman Trophy case here, we've all lost out, because that should be a name that electrifies college football.
Spencer Rattler. Tanner Mordecai. Those are good names. All right, coming up, someone who is ranked number one. And where is it okay to go, number one?
Oh, yeah. Oh boy.
We're going to book stuff and probably pee stuff. Go like when we go ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dentist to actually believe you?
And you're flossing every day.
Absolutely.
Great. And you're cutting down on your sweets?
Of course.
Wonderful. Then I don't even need to look in there.
Great. See you in 6 months.
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
All right, guys, book it. You know the drill. You add book it to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the book.
You know what time it is. It's book it time, damn it.
Let's go.
Let's get this thing cracking.
Let's go.
Go Look and Win Goes, presented by Progressive Insurance. More than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. This is Golic and Wingo. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you guys on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We're getting ready to play a little bit of Book It.
Let's book it.
You guys know the drill at this point. I'm going to give you a take. If you like it, you want to spice it up, hit it with a little razzle-dazzle. You shout Book It. Everyone gets happy. We play the sounder.
Razzle-dazzle.
Hit him with a little... Oh, gosh.
Stripes.
Yeah. Is this some old thing?
Stripes.
Movie Stripes.
Yeah.
Some old thing.
Yeah, I mean, shut up, nerd. It is an old
everything
thing.
We do is old.
I give you the statement. You tell me if you want to co-sign the take and life is good. Let's start it off with a doozy.
Yeah.
Trey, Colin Kaepernick will be signed before Cam Newton. You going to book it?
No.
Okay. Yeah, there's really no more to say. If both work out and both check out relatively healthy, which I think they will both, Cam Newton's getting signed first.
Correct.
So no way I'm booking
now,
him.
Now, I would like for Colin to be signed because I think he can still play and we put up the numbers. He still can, but no, he's not going to be signed for Cam Newton. No
yeah,
way.
I was going to say the career stats for Colin relative to Cam, when you go to rate stats, are pretty interesting. Total QBR, Colin's is 59, Cam's is 55. Touchdown to interception ratio, 2.4 for Colin, 1.7 for Cam. Completion percentage, 60 for both. Yards per attempt, 7.3 for both. Each have a Super Bowl appearance. Cam, obviously, the NFL MVP and more recent play on that one. So, interesting way to frame it. I still believe Cam was and is the better player, and so I'm not going to book this.
Yeah, we appreciate Henry, our fine researcher, for putting all the information into that for us just to say no.
Fair enough. Dad, someone's going to call the snitch line to gain a competitive advantage. You going to book it? The
NBA? Absolutely booking that. Someone is absolutely calling that snitch line and saying someone from another team without doing this or doing that wrong and shouldn't have been. Without question, I'm booking that.
Again, for people that don't know, there is something that players are referring to as a snitch line in the NBA resort bubble. If they suspect that somebody has broken the rules of the containment situation, there is an anonymous line where they can call in, and players have called it the snitch line. Absolutely, I'm going to book it.
Yeah, no, there's a Karen lurking somewhere in the NBA, and we're going to find out who that is. You should have, I mean, I know it's an anonymous.
I feel bad for all Karens, by the way.
I know it's an anonymous line, but eventually someone's going to find out, and that someone is going to be Woj,
exactly.
Who is going to be on that line.
I wonder if it's his phone.
You. So, Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN New. We're playing Book It here with everybody. Dad, Major League Baseball will play more than 50 games. You going
to
book it?
Oh, I can book it. The league already put it at 60 to match their $1.5 billion number at 100% pro rata. So, yeah, I definitely think they're playing more than 50. I'll book that.
Books it?
I'm going to book it.
Yeah.
I'm going to book it. I was just waiting for someone to play the book it sound.
Yeah, we're not.
Said book
yeah,
it.
Don't worry about it.
Seem to be missing
by the way,
that
shortest
today.
Season ever when six National League teams averaged 60 games was 1877. So maybe that's the benchmark. Will it be the shortest or will it be longer than that?
Yeah, and I think this goes back to the idea of now that it's being negotiated again, will this get done? Because remember, Rob Manfred can enforce unilaterally a season that could be as short as 48 games because we know we're getting up against a time crunch on this. Should it go super sideways? I don't think it's going to. I'll be interested to see if we get anything in the way of compromise surrounding the thing at the heart of this now, the grievance the players might potentially file against the owners should this go through. And I feel like if we get enough, if we end up getting 65, 68 games, you could get that waived as a compromise. So I'm going to book it also. They're going
to
play more than 50
games. Let's go. We want to get to that last one. So
you want to get to that
last one? No, not just now, but we want to get there. So
all right.
Basically saying, speed it up,
yeah.
Dude.
Dad, Cam Newton will be on the Browns next season.
Book God, no.
Trey?
No. I'm not booking
not
that.
Not booking it.
Not
no.
booking it? All right. Aaron Rodgers will be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL next season.
So is that going to be by QBR or by rating?
Here?
Like by quarterback rating, he was 12th. QBR, he was 20th. I mean, how are you,
Is he going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league, however you slice it?
Yeah, I'm booking that. Yes.
Yes. 100% booked.
Yes.
Bounce back year for Aaron Rodgers. I'll book that. I'll book that one. And I think, I mean, some of it's going to be defiance on his part, right? Because now he's been shown this is the future. And so
absolutely.
He may be auditioning for another team at some point in this, for at the very least, showing everybody you're going to move on from this guy. I don't think you tick off Aaron Rodgers like that. Guys, Michael Thomas, the best wide receiver in the NFL. Dad, you going to book it?
I'm booking it because, again, everybody knows the ball is going to him. Just look at the disparity between him and the next wide receiver. Yet he still catches the ball more than anybody. So I know he's not the best over the top guy and all that. He's the best receiver.
I'm not going to book it. Okay. And it's not a slight on him. If you're telling me you can have one receiver, I'm taking Julio Jones and I'm taking DeAndre Hopkins first.
That's two.
I know. If I have one, I'd take both of those before him. Or I might even take Tyreek.
Okay. Tyreek Hill is the interesting outlier in this one.
And it's not a knock on Michael Thomas.
Sounds like it is.
I just like what those guys bring to the equation.
Yeah, it's interesting. The wide receiver I'd take versus who's actually the best is going to be an interesting discussion. And this is rankings for the 2020 season, so it's who we're going to believe. I'm with you, Trey. Quintoris Lopez-Jones.
It's hard to pass that guy.
I think with the Atlanta offense and what it could be this year, as long as Julio stays healthy, this could be another one of those years with some bonkers numbers involved.
Wait, good job of screwing it up so we didn't get the last question, because you had to read all those stinking quarterback stats in the first one or whatever it was.
Yeah, we teased
Well done, Junior.
Nice job.
Well done.
All right, we'll stick to football here and come up. What are the real concerns for the NFL playing in the midst of COVID-19? We'll talk to the guy whose job it is to know that stuff next.